with all that's going on, I think we see some strange things happening today. Now, if you pay close attention, we see strange things happen all the time. But you'll get those that feel, no, it's extra strange now. Just in this time span, we've seen some horrific airplane and helicopter collision. We also seen a smaller plane with a child that was coming for medical from Mexico and her mom. And it came down like a torpedo. We're seeing what people think are orbs or whatever flying in the sky. Some people are struggling with certain situations and changes and things of that sort. And I've been asked, what are these times telling us? I grew up and I was surrounded by people who love to kind of make everything some sort of sign. And they add to it. And next thing you know, we're chasing after something that may not be there. So as a Christian, how do I know if God is telling me something when these strange things happen, and what do I do? Well, the name of this Order My Steps is How Should We See Trying Situations and Times? How should we see trying situations and times? So in understanding this, hopefully we grasp and we get an understanding of what that means, is when we go through trying times, it's very easy for us to read too much into it, okay? And in that, we'll start reading as if God is saying. And time after time, I've seen people make some decisions based on what they say God is saying, even though God's not saying it. Now, God speaks to us one main way today. He shows us this. He says in Hebrews 1:1-2, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So he spoke to the people that were supposed to spread the words to other people. Those were the prophets, and he did it in different ways. He could do it through dreams. He could do it through, like you said, those certain signs. But they would know it's him, and they would get the answer. That's what he said, various ways, and they would get that information. He says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And remember, Jesus is also the Word. So we have full access to God speaking to us, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So with that understanding, we tend to get distracted away from the Word, and you see how that works. Now, Satan being the prince, as he will be, of the air, and he can do things on those who are disobedient, he's able to do that because we're easily distracted. You see, people tend to want signs concerning what's going on while there are more than enough signs with the times themselves. We're going to get to that. Matthew 16:1-4 says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. He's saying they want something magical. And we like to make it, you know, something that really stands out as God doing something supernatural to speak to us. But as he said there, he says, you cannot interpret the basic signs or things that I have left. And we're going to call them something else. We'll get to that. But for that sign that God is particularly talking to you, I don't think we see those as much as we think. See, Jesus clearly said there will be only one sign given. Matthew 12:39-41. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign. Watch what he says, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he makes clear what that is. He says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the huge fish, this is what makes this so important, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That one time, we don't want to go over that, that's a whole nother order of my steps, but it shows he had to be in the ground not only just 3 days. He didn't just touch a day. It had to be 3 days and three nights. That's the sign. Now, that sign's so important because then every other thing we need is through the sun, the one who is giving that sign. Do you understand that? All right. So we accept that sign. Now, don't get me wrong. Also, there are things we are going to see if we only look at it through Christ and we'll know how to act. The wise see real danger and respond accordingly. If you've heard me many times talk about how you had groups called preppers, and you have people that go out and buy a whole bunch of weapons, and you have people that prepare in certain ways. And I've heard Christians sometimes that, once again, will get distracted and say, well, should I go buy a whole bunch of food and get some sort of storm shelter and buy? Now, if I live in a place where there's a lot of tornadoes coming through there, maybe that would be wise to get a storm shelter. Amen? You understand that? Because I see that. I understand that. When I'm going off of somebody's interpretation of the times, is it the wise attitude and response to go out and do something drastically and very expensive? And maybe not. When he says in Proverbs 27, verse 12, he says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. You catch that? The prudent, that means the smart, the wise, they see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. One reason he makes very clear, the simple are those that either figure it out through themselves, they listen to many other people, and they miss what really is danger, and they'll go chasing after or protecting themselves for danger that's not there at all. We keep trying to change this stuff and change the narrative, and then we try to fill in what God is saying with it, and it's become a disaster. Instead of us stopping and going, wait a minute, I know what God is saying because he provided it to me. So let me make clear before we dive into what we're supposed to see in these times, and actually what we're supposed to see in all of the times, what trying situations and trying times are not. Now, I'm going to show you how verses work, but if you don't read them directly from God as they're in here, you'll twist them, and once again, you'll be confused as well. We tend to incorrectly use this statement from God, which is given to God's people. Remember that, very important. Who is this statement given to? It's God's people. It actually only fits two nations, which comes from one nation. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 15, he says, if my people who are called by my name. Let me stop right there. He just gave you who he's talking about. Now, the main country that uses this, of course, is the United States of America. And you got to show me anywhere in history where God said the United States of America are my people called by my name. For those of you who do not know, never was, never will be. Now, here's the promise he made to this person or this group of people he's talking about. He was like, if they do this, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Even if it was United States of America, we haven't done any of those three. Not even an ounce. You'll see people going through religious motions while they are doing nothing that God says, or very little. They've distorted his word, so they're still doing wicked things. They're not humbling themselves. There's an arrogance and pride, and definitely not seeking his face, because if we were, as a country, you'd see us doing godly things, not the garbage that we've been doing. But he says, if this is done, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is for Israel. And when I say two nations, remember, they split. Okay, there's the 10 nations that were the northern nations, and they still kept the name Israel. And then we had the southern nations, which was two of them left, and they were called Judah. And this is the thing he would say to them. He gave them an option to repent. If you would just repent, this is what I would do. But do you see how we can take something and force it into a situation? And I know many people that will repeat this, and they've repeated it. And I'm going, but who are you talking about? In fact, the only other nation that now, today, are called his people are somebody else. Today, the only nation known as God's people that matters to Christians is the Christian nation, and Christians exist worldwide. main reason why you have churches that are separated by race, by culture, by area, and I'm talking about they're definitely separated, is because we've allowed people to take this and attach it to a small group. And they define who that group is, right? Right? You hear of the, they'll call it Christian nationalists or white nationalists, and I mean, just by the name, it's excluding a huge amount of people that are Christians. This is for worldwide. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a, watch this, holy nation, a people belonging to God. Other than that, you will find no other place at this time that is that, but Christians. That you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then he makes very clear who he's talking to in verse 10. Once you were not a people. Ah, so I don't care what country you come from now. You were still not a people. Well, in 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people, being not a people, which was everybody until you accepted what Christ did. And he says, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So don't get caught up in, okay, this is a Christian nation. We've always have been. We have not. And it has not worked out the way God said with the things that were done in our country. Shocking situations are nothing more than shocking situations. Do not read more into them. Stay spiritually focused. And I have to stress that, stay spiritually focused. We're going to do an upcoming study, and it's probably going to be in a Bible study, on distractions. Because more and more Christians are distracted thinking they're focused. They get caught up in nonsense. Many people have gotten caught up in politics in the wrong way, listening to conspiracies. Now, you know, it could be fun to listen to them, but there's a difference between, you know, it's like watching a cartoon or a comedy or something like that, and just, you know, okay, you take them with a grain of salt and you just kind of laugh at them. And for those who are affected by them, do you understand that? Those who are influenced by these things, oh, I know what happened in this group of people, and they have this underground, and you hear some of the worst nonsense out there. And even if it is true, why are we bothered with it? Luke 13, 1 to 5, look how Jesus speaks of something in the same way. He says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifice. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I told you it was a minister. He since died. But he used to get up there every time a disaster would happen in one of the states, and it had to only happen in the states he didn't like. He would go, well, God's doing that because they were sinners, and they had this going on, and they had that going on. Well, no, our whole country has this and that going on. Do you understand that? And he tried to make it out as the rest of us are so wholesome. And this is where some people get in their minds. If my life is going physically good, then I must be blessed. But if yours is going bad, you must have done something wrong. And like I said, if they met Lazarus and the rich man, they would have got it all wrong. Jesus answered. He said, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Right? Some were going to be caught up in disasters, some are not. But it's the same for all. He says in verse 4, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now, repentance has to come with alertness, has to come with our place in God. Okay, so instead of giving these mystical signs that everybody's looking for, he's giving actual events that we're supposed to be watching. And he gives the specific ones that we should be watching no matter what's going on out there. And you have to do it his way. I'm going to explain that. Now, some of the given signs from times and situations we should be focused on has been revealed by God in his word. Now, this is where it has to be in context. And be careful, because some people try to say, well, this was just spoken to the Corinthians, or this was just spoken, you know, to the people in Ephesus. And we lose track of it. It's not necessarily the truth. The scripture is made for all of us. Do you understand that? Okay. So he, what he did for us, and if anybody wants to go read this, and I encourage you to read this, Jesus does provide events to look for on the path to and through tribulation. In Matthew 24, read that entire chapter, or Matthew 13, read that entire chapter, or Luke 21. All give breakdowns of revelations. They just show you when things are falling into place. Now, here's what's so important. You got to read those, and you got to read Revelations if you want a timeline and understanding and so on and so forth. Because you'll see pieces of those that will seem to happen. There are some rivers I know around the world that every once in a while will turn red, and scientists have no idea why. Then people go, you know, the Bible says. But you go, when the Bible talks about it, it's happening currently with a lot of other things happening during that time. It's not something that happens and then goes away. But do you see how people will take a piece and apply it to all and confuse many? Okay? So what in this time should we be watching other than events that he's warned us are going to happen that's going to let us know we're headed to a certain spot? These are the things we should be watching no matter what's going on around us. First of all, godly people living self-centered. Godly people living self-centered. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, but mark this. So it's like a bookmark. He said, I want you to watch this. And he says, there will be a terrible time in the last days. My brother asked me a question the other day. He was saying, hey, the reason why we don't truly see, you know, the miracles of healing, the miracles of the gifts, is it because we don't need them for today? And I had to explain to him, you won't find that in the Bible. You have to twist a verse or two to make that the answer. And people are struggling because he's right. We don't necessarily see it. I mean, I've heard people who will come to somebody and somebody lay their hands on them and they say, okay, now you're healed. And it's an internal thing that we don't see. And we usually have to take their word for it. What we're not seeing today is a limb growing back or something that is without a doubt. Do you understand that? But the purpose of it is because the time we're in. If you remember, when Peter was walking across the water, and just because he saw, that means he allowed the flesh to play a part, but his faith was strong enough in Christ that he did walk across water until he saw. Then he started sinking, and Jesus asked, why do you doubt? This time that's called terrible time, that's why it says there will be terrible times in the last days, are us living with nothing but doubt while we're supposed to be walking by faith. And I always said, I had to be honest with myself, and I tell people to be honest with themselves, because we allow the world to tell us we're not this, while you'd be surprised, more are this. What are they talking about? It says people will be lovers of themselves. Watch people. We won't change based on our comfort. I watch people, Christians, taking advantage of people because it makes them comfortable. I watch Christians have attitudes and treat people a certain way because they're not Christian, or they're supposed to be Christian and they're acting upon their flesh. Lovers of money. I think that speaks for itself. We do things that we may have more, not looking out for people that don't have. Boastful. We like people to see us a certain way. And then, you know, not to go through all of this because I want to make sure you grasp and get it, but you see proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, and that's hysterical love or what we know as natural love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. Treacherous, which means a traitor to God, basically, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In other words, they realize how to love God, but when it comes down to choosing it, you'll see them make choices based on what I enjoy and not what God says. That's what we're supposed to be watching, and we're not. That's why he says having a form of godliness. In other words, I'm going to look like a Christian, but denying its power. But I'm not living as a Christian. You understand that? I want to look the part. I want you to call me Christian. I want to look what I think holy is instead of doing exactly what the word said. And he gives us a warning, have nothing to do with them. That's going to be in any time and any event. It's a safety for us, for ourselves to see where we're at, and for others that are around us, for us to stay protected. The other thing he told us to look out for, and this is, you know, an overall sign that we're supposed to stay focused on, is sound teaching being replaced with desirable messages. And that desirable is not a good thing, because I want to have it more desirable to me than for me to hearing what God says, because a lot of what God says is not desirable. Why? Because desire usually caters to the flesh. We see in 2 Timothy 4:3-5, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. The key here is not necessarily that churches are not teaching it, because many are not, but men won't put up with. It's not that hard for us to see the difference of when you're being taught wrong. It's not. The reason why it ends up so hard is we're too stubborn to see. We're too stubborn to see. Because it means it's going to go against something that I thought I believed. It means it's going to have to go against something that I really deeply felt. It's going to shoot down certain things in my life that I stood firm on. Instead, look at what we do. He says, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's why we see so many of those churches, the itching ear churches. They will what? Turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You'll be able to tell, because it'll give you stuff that if you ask a simple question, can you show me the solidified answer of that in God's word? They won't be able to do it. I'll give you some answer that looks like it came directly from God, but you won't find it in God's word. Are y'all with me? Right? Hopefully you're grasping and you understand this. All right. He says, but you, here's his answer again, keep your head in all situations. That's huge, because once again, these times are happening and it wants us to panic, wants us to do some crazy stuff. But if God didn't give us instruction, keep your head. Stay godly focused. And not only is it the times, it's how the times affect you. That's why he's telling you to keep your head. It's going to make some scared. It's going to make some frustrated. It's going to make some angry. It's going to affect us one way or the other. And are we going to react to the feeling? Or are we going to continue to react to God only? And to keep your head means you're going to endure hardship. You're going to go through some things that you're going to be like, why is this happening to me? But to endure it, say, I'm going to stay in here until God gives me the wide open of what I'm supposed to do next. I'm not saying you're not going to feel this way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can't do nothing about the feelings. But what he's saying is you endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. Everywhere you go, your life is a ministry. Then he says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In other words, make sure how you're dealing and the gifts and why God created you. All of those things are very important in what we're supposed to do. Okay? The other thing we need to keep an eye on is wealthy people hoarding wealth and using it to overindulge self. Two reasons why we don't see this. One, we want to be these people. Love to have money to do anything I want and feel comfortable and not worry about the things and the ways that the world affects us. If people are being honest, that's exactly what's going on. James 5:1-6 says, now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Many of us don't realize this is us. It's speaking of us. We look at, like I said, the gazillionaires out there, the people that have so much money, instead of us recognizing what he's talking about. You understand that? And he goes on to say, your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. He says their corrosion will testify against you. In other words, we have all this wealth and we're not using it to help people. And eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay your workmen, we see it in that way, who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. More of us, once again, describes us. That's what we're supposed to be watching. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. We see a lot of this happening right now. People going after people just because you don't like them, just because you have the power to do it. False teachers and teachings ignoring the imminent coming of Christ. That's the other thing we got to watch out for. So we just talked about the itching ear churches as a whole, the organizations you're part of. But now the messages, some people say, well, that's why I just listen to it online. I listen to it here. And are you sure what you're listening to is on point? Are you doing what the Bible says when it says to test? Second Peter 3:3-7 says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. You catch that? So they're going to be, you know, people that ridicule and talk down about God, and he didn't really mean that. You understand that when they're scoffing, that's this thing when they're just kind of, come on, he didn't mean that, or I don't see this happening. He says, like in verse 4, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Even since our father died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. He's going to work on your mind and your sight. Go on. He keeps saying soon, but when is it? But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. That's going to be the next instruction. He's not going to do it with a flood. It's going to be done with fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. We're allowing teachings to make us lax. Many people who call themselves Christians are very complacent because they're following what people are saying instead of following what the word says. That's what we're supposed to be watching. Stop being distracted by weird things that are happening. You can be interested and leave it at that, but the minute it starts affecting your Christian walk, you have been corrupted. So how we should be during these shocking times and every other time. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. To preach the word is so important. It doesn't mean go out there and just start preaching at people. It means in my living preaching and when I speak preaching, make sure it's what I'm preaching is the word. You have a lot of people who are motivational people, and what they're preaching is feel good sentences and feel good items and giving you false hope. What they're not giving you is the word. Their actions don't show godliness. Their actions show human and outcomes down here. And preaching is going to come in a form. That's why it says be prepared in season, out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage, doing it with what? Great patience and careful instructions. That's what we're going to display. Next, we must constantly adjust our Christian walk, as it shows in James 4:7-10. He says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, do you see what he's, once again, distracting us from? I won't resist the devil if I keep making the things that the devil are doing as if it came from God. But if I submit to God, I do what God says, his word says. Follow his word. Do exactly what he tells you. Are we doing that? Then when he tells us to grieve, mourn, and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom, why does he say that? To get rid of the fleshly guidance of pleasure and to lean on the spiritual. And that's going to allow us to do what verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Finally, we must live in God's will. God's will. We get the universal will out of God's word, which then guides us to our individual will, as long as we're diligently and faithfully following it. When he says in Ephesians 5:15-17, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, doing what? Making the most of every opportunity. Then he tells you why. Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. It's a warning. Therefore, do not be foolish, which is showing that's a choice, but understand what the Lord's will is. We're spending too much time trying to read into the evil days that we're missing what God is truly saying. So don't get distracted or misled by the weird things that are happening in the world. No, don't do that. But stay focused on God. Lock in on what he's given us that we should be focused on so that we may be able to react and live honor and glorifying him. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the guidance and protections you do give us. Help us not to be distracted leaning on things that are not, leaning on false securities, dear God. Help us to eliminate those things in our lives and not allow our sight with the things that are going on around us to get in the way, but to continually allow faith to guide us. Your word gives us so many things we need, and the Holy Spirit protects us as long as we lean upon him. So we're going to continue to do what we need to, dear Lord, and we got to look out for each other and encourage each other in your word and not allow the surroundings to have a say in what I do next. We give you the glory, praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.